Secretary of State John Kerry is on the road again. He was in Berlin today, where he said the Obama administration will not cut Congress out of the loop regarding a possible deal with Iran over its nuclear program.
I personally believe, as does the president, that Congress has an extremely important role to play in this, and Congress will play a role in this.
Iran is just one of the issues on John Kerry's plate these days. There's the fight against ISIS, Ebola, the tensions with Russia. So how is he handling those issues? And more broadly, how do you judge a Secretary of State's performance? We want to explore those questions with Professor Jeremy Suri. He teaches at the Lyndon Johnson School of Public Affairs and in the History Department at the University of Texas. He's also the author of Henry Kissinger and the American Century, among other books. He's with us from KUT in Austin. Professor, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And let's start with John Kerry, the current Secretary of State. Is it possible to judge his performance at this point?
Well, I think we can begin to judge his performance, and I think we can say two things. We can say he's been incredibly energetic, but so far, at least, there aren't great results to see.
Why not? Why are there not great results to see, in your view?
Well, I think, first of all, he's inherited a very difficult international environment, but I think what he has lacked is a strategic focus which allows him to take advantage of some of the opportunities that are out there to produce something that can change the international system. He's been in a very reactive mode, and the best secretaries of state do not just react, they lead.
Well, let's talk about some successful secretaries of state, and we should remember that this goes all the way back to Thomas Jefferson as the
yes.
first secretary of state back in 1790. Tell us about your favorites over the years.
Well, I have some good oldies and I have some less oldies who I like. Certainly, John Quincy Adams is, I think, probably the conventional wisdom among historians is that he's the best Secretary of State. He is the one who authored the Monroe Doctrine, and he's the one who really shepherded the United States through a very difficult international period when Britain and France and other countries were looking to gobble us up. John Hay, who was Secretary of State in the late 19th century, played a crucial role as America rose to become a global power. He really articulated and led the formation of the Foreign Service and many of the elements of American foreign policy that we take for granted today. So John Hay is also interesting, by the way, because he was Abraham Lincoln's secretary. Henry Stimson, who played a crucial role during the Depression as Herbert Hoover's Secretary of State before becoming Franklin Roosevelt's Secretary of War, played a crucial role in that interim period as the United States dealt with both a desire to avoid war at home, but also the difficulties of managing the rise of fascism overseas. And then, of course, Dean Acheson, Henry Kissinger, and James Baker, I think, were the great secretaries of state of the Cold War. They were responsible more than anyone else for the United States coming out on top in the Cold War.
And did these guys have much in common? Was there something that they were all doing?
You know, I think they had a number of things in common that are worth exploring. First, all of them had a philosophy of how the world worked. All of them, to one extent or another, were realists. They believed that power mattered, but that power had to be negotiated. All of them were multilateral. None of them believed the United States could act alone. All of them believed that resources mattered, but that you had to spend money abroad to get value at home. And most significant, I think, all of them recognized that war should only be a last resort. These were secretaries of state who sought to avoid war, not to throw around American military force.
Including James Baker and Henry Kissinger, you would say that
yes,
they did those things?
Yes, absolutely. One of Kissinger's great innovations was to open relations with our former adversaries in China and to some extent the Soviet Union and create a more stable negotiated peace during the Cold War rather than the continual conflicts that had really brought us into Vietnam, were responsible for the Cuban situation. And James Baker, he did, of course, oversee American power during the first Persian Gulf War, but his goal was to bring that war to a quick close and then negotiate a settlement to the Arab-Israeli conflict, and he came pretty close, I think.
We're speaking with Professor Jeremy Suri from the Lyndon Johnson School of Public Affairs and the Department of History at the University of Texas about secretaries of state, and you're listening to Here and Now. And let's go back to a Secretary of State that we all remember, Secretary of State Colin Powell, who under President George W. Bush back in 2003 went before the United Nations in the run-up to the invasion of Iraq and said that the U.S. had to invade because Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction.
Iraq's behavior demonstrates that Saddam Hussein and his regime have made no effort to disarm as required by the international community. Indeed, the facts and Iraq's behavior show that Saddam Hussein and his regime are concealing their efforts to produce more weapons of mass destruction.
And, of course, we now know there were no weapons of mass destruction. But is history going to judge him as that's his legacy as Secretary of State of going before and saying something that turned out not to be true?
Well, it will be hard to talk about Secretary Powell without talking about that speech at the UN. He brought so much credibility as a war hero and as a long-serving member of the defense establishment to the State Department and did a lot of good things, especially in reorganizing the department itself, in bringing more money into the department, hiring better people. But I do think he put his name on information that was not true and contributed to what many will see in retrospect as a war that did not serve American interests. And so it will be hard to separate him from that legacy.
What about Hillary Clinton's legacy and something that a lot of people are going to be looking into, especially if she does run for president?
I think she has a very mixed legacy. I think there are a lot of positives. She played an instrumental role, I think, in opening countries like Burma to democratization. It took her a little while, but her administration embraced the Arab Spring and encouraged what we hope will be a long-term effort at democratization in the Middle East. And she was very well respected among our partners and sometimes adversaries in Asia and elsewhere. So she did a very competent job at that level. But of course, the tragedy in Benghazi and the killing of an American ambassador there and the continued unrest in that area will plague her. It's not clear she could have prevented that, but it does appear that she did not react to those circumstances in the most forthright way. And this will pose problems for her legacy.
Well, and on other things that it's not clear that she could have prevented, you could look at the Arab Spring and say it's turned into a mess in a lot of the countries where there was an uprising. And also when we talk about the pivot to Asia and the Obama administration's planned pivot to Asia, that hasn't worked out the way that they hoped either.
Well, this is true, but none of these have been disastrous. And I think you could argue that if you take a country like North Korea, we have not been able to reverse their nuclear development. But they've been kept pretty much in the box by American foreign policy. She played a key role with that. The Chinese are not necessarily seeing eye to eye with us on all issues. But the relationship has been managed reasonably well. It certainly was, it seems to me, in the first administration. And the Arab Spring did not produce the results we'd like to see. But I still think many parts of the Middle East are a little better off. I'd rather have an Egypt with an engaged public, even now that they have a military dictatorship, but still having gone through this process. And one could argue what we're seeing in Hong Kong, what we've seen in Ukraine and elsewhere are after spills of a larger democratic wave that's producing disorder around the world, but also producing the possibility for change. And maybe we'll see that in Iran sometime soon.
Professor Suri, just to wrap this up, if you were questioning a nominee for Secretary of State in the Senate before they were confirmed, what would you ask them? What would be the one thing you would want to know from somebody to determine whether they were going to be a successful Secretary of State?
I think the most important question is the question, how do you see the world and how can you improve America's position in the world? That's your job as Secretary of State. If you don't have an idea how to do that, if you're just going to manage crises, you're not going to be successful.
Professor Jeremy Suri teaches at the Lyndon Johnson School of Public Affairs and in the Department of History at the University of Texas. He's also the author of Henry Kissinger and the American Century, among other books. Professor Suri, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
And a question to you. Are you ready to judge Hillary Clinton's term as Secretary of State? We just talked about it there. But do you think she did a good job? Do you think it's too soon to tell? Let us know at hereandnow.org. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.